Hi, I'm Scott Hanselman. This is Azure Friday, and we're talking with John Walton from the Azure Security team.
Hi.
Red versus blue.
Yeah, so the red versus blue is two different teams that we have in Microsoft that basically an offense team versus a defense team. Mm-hmm. So we have a full-time staff of red team members, and essentially their job is to attack production, attack Azure, doing live site testing, and it basically simulate real-world attacks.
That seems like almost impossible to believe that you have a full-time team of effectively data ninjas. You've hired them to attack Azure.
Correct.
Does Blue set up honeypots for them? I mean, are they attacking my site?
So they don't attack on customer sites specifically, but they do attack the Azure infrastructure. And because Microsoft is a heavy user of Azure itself as well, we tend to attack Microsoft sites and Microsoft services on top of Azure itself. The Blue team, they're definitely a defensive team, and so they sometimes do set up honeypots. Their goal is to find attackers, whether that be the Red team or any other individual or teams or groups of folks that are attacking Azure. And oftentimes, the Blue team doesn't know whether it's the Red team attacking them or whether it's any other attacker on the outside that doesn't work for Microsoft. And that's the way we designed this program, Red versus Blue, is that we wanted to be able to exercise real-world response. And so not knowing who the people are attacking is beneficial at first, but at the end, the two teams can come together and compare notes and talk about lessons learned and improve our defensive strategies for Azure itself as well.
But Azure's probably getting attacked by people all over in script kiddies because everyone on the internet is constantly being attacked.
Correct.
How does Blue know that it's Red and not someone really evil?
So at first, during an exercise, when the red team is attacking, the blue team wouldn't know whether it's them. Now, at a management level, we do know because we manage both teams and we can tell when something's the red team attacking versus not. But the blue team members themselves don't know that, and their job is to respond as if it was just a real-world attack. And during this process, we can identify, were we successful in defending Azure? And if we weren't, what changes would we make in order to protect Azure, both from the red team but anybody else that's attacking? As well.
Now, I've seen in movies where, someone is in charge of the president's security detail and they hire a guy to kill the president, but then the management that hired them got killed, so then suddenly he's on the run. Would you ever accidentally call the FBI on Red and have them arrested?
No, we wouldn't. We do, certainly have checks and balances in place before we would execute sort of this notification process, whether it be to law enforcement or any customers as well, to verify that it's not the Red team themselves before we would exercise
now,
that.
Now, does the Red team sit in offices at Microsoft, or might they sneak off to like Panera Bread and break into Azure from their Wi-Fi?
They do sit within Microsoft facilities as well, and we have a number of security protections around that, because a lot of the data that they collect and a lot of the attacks they do is very sensitive information, so we try to protect it that way. But they also want to, because we want to simulate attacks from the internet, we oftentimes will stand up services in Azure or other services and we'll attack it just from the same sort of sources and that any other attacker would as well, because we want to be as real world as possible. So they have assets that are outside the Microsoft environment that they may pivot through or utilize for testing.
Route things through there?
Correct, yeah.
What else does Red and Blue do?
So the whole reason why we started doing this Red versus Blue is because the threat landscape has really changed. Attackers have gotten a lot more advanced. We've gone from script kiddies and viruses that affect a large population of computers more to these criminalized, organized crime or government, nation state attacks and so forth. And so by staffing a full-time red team, we can actually exercise a lot of the same characteristics that you would see in these more advanced attackers, and that's why we do that. But if we were to kind of dive into the specific, red team roles versus blue team, mm-hmm. The red team's job is to break into the services. We want to be as real world as possible. And this is something that most organizations don't have this capability, is to staff a full-time hacking team, if you will. Mm-hmm. So it's very unique to Microsoft. Now, any organization can benefit from this, but because Microsoft takes the security so seriously, we want to actually be able to leverage these kind of full-time employees as well. So they'll measure things like mean time to compromise and what we call mean time to pwnage. That's essentially where you've compromised the entire service or you've reached domain admin as an example. But the big benefit of the red team is that you can actually measure your impact. You can mm-hmm. determine how successful they were at getting in, and you can justify additional investments in resources and so forth. You can also, for example, measure the response side of this. So you're able to exercise. This is sort of like building muscle in response and recovery and identifying where you need to invest more, whether that be in people, process, or technology and so forth. So the blue team, their job is really more about enhancing situation awareness. They're going to be doing investigations and forensics. They're going to be detecting attacks. They're going to be responding to attacks. And some of those, as we talked about, would be the red team themselves. But the big impact here is that the blue team can measure how successful our mean time to detection is and our mean time to recovery is. And we're constantly improving that.
And do you switch teams?
We don't switch teams. We like to have specialized disciplines. So the red team members, they're all hacker types, and the blue team members, they're more the defender types, if you will. Mm-hmm. We do share knowledge, and sometimes we'll cross-pollinate in the sense of, you know, just practicing with each other, because we, at the end of an exercise, we'll disclose everything that the red team did,
and
the blue team will disclose everything that they found, and we'll improve based on that. So that's really more of our cross-pollination, but they tend not to switch sides, if you will.
But each side is learning, though.
Correct.
Doesn't that mean that you might get up to a point where, like, 3, 4, 5, 6 months might go by and no one's been able to do anything, and it's just you've been locked in, you know, deadlock, and nothing's been accomplished?
That's the ideal role, but I'll tell you that any attacking organization, whether it's a red team or whether, you know, it's organized crime or a nation state, given enough time and resources, they will get in. And so our security strategy is based on this assume breach, assume that that's going to happen at some point in time. So the red team, you know, they'll exercise enough, and eventually they'll find some way in, and that will kick off the response process as well.
And then all of this knowledge gets then rolled up and then presumably trickles down throughout the entire Azure infrastructure. So if something
Correct.
Is found, then it's shut down for everyone.
Absolutely. Yep. We will close those gaps, not only address the individual vulnerabilities themselves, but we'll do things like improve our monitoring for those kind of things. We'll improve our recovery capabilities for those vulnerabilities. And it's not just about, you know, technology or fixes, if you will. Oftentimes we do trainings. So we'll go back to an organization and we'll tell them, hey, you know, there are risks to spear phishing, as an example, a common technique that attackers use, and our red team loves it. They will use this as well. So it's not purely about addressing technology gaps, but also addressing, you know, just gaps in the way people use our services and the way that we manage our services and so forth as well. So.
Yeah, I recently had an e-reader from a large Northwest-based bookseller that was actually extracted from me using entirely no technology. It was all done, it was done in the chat.
Sure.
They chatted an agent, and the agent was basically convinced, and it had nothing to do with security except it was a personal thing, you know?
Social engineering is probably what it was.
So they were using, the red team use social engineering as well as
they
network
can.
Engineering?
Yep, so the red team, they're basically gated by things like rules of engagement. So there's a set of things that they're allowed to do. Social engineering is one of those techniques. That because it's common that external attackers use that technique, we want to be able to exercise it here as well. But the rules of engagement give us, you know, sort of that legal binding of what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do, and so forth. But they have pretty free rein. They're allowed to do quite a bit.
So short of paratrooping into an Azure data center and then crawling them into the vents.
Exactly. Someday we might do that as well. But today that's not something we exercise in our red team.
Very cool. So, I want to check that out.
Thanks.
Cool. Thank you very much, John Walton, talking about red versus blue and Azure penetration testing here on Azure Friday.